Well, hello and welcome to Psychology in Everyday Life, The Psych Files. Michael Britt here, and it is August 1st, 2007, and this is episode 23, entitled, Do Teachers Have to Be Actors Today? Well, you know, I mentioned in the previous episode that it's kind of a busy time right now for me, and the reason for that is that I'm appearing in a play, actually a musical, called The Pajama Game at the Sharon Playhouse. It's being put up by TriArts, the TriArts Theater Company. And we're going up actually this coming Friday. So acting is something that I've been doing ever since I was quite young. My father was a theatrical director, and so I was one of those kids who hung out at the rehearsals, memorizing everybody else's lines and saying them to myself, and probably generally being a pain in the neck. But I enjoyed it, and as I grew up, I continued my involvement, and at this point, probably have spent more money than I care to admit on various lessons, acting and voice. Now, I decided not to go into acting into the theater world, the theater life, because I followed the advice of a book that was one of the many books I've read, which basically asserted that if there's anything else you can do besides acting, you probably should do it. Because it's a very difficult life. Everyone dreams of being rich and famous, but of course very few people actually get that sort of luck. So there are other things that I wanted to do, and I worked enough with professional actors, and I was on the board of a professional theater company, and I saw how difficult the life was. And so, because I have other interests, obviously psychology and teaching, I decided to go a different route. Nonetheless, I continue to work in theater as a kind of a hobby. And of course, it's inevitable that connections between psychology and acting would occur to me as I sat around watching and rehearsing. So I wanted to share some of those. I think that there are some interesting connections between what actors do as they get into a scene, as they analyze a scene, and what teachers do as they prepare to go into class. And I thought maybe just sort of bring some of those connections to light. Now, I know that I promised a part two to the Erickson, the brains behind Erickson, and I am preparing that sort of in parallel with this. But wanted to get this one out because it's just been on my mind, obviously, since I've been in rehearsal, and I wanted to just get this episode out on this topic. So next time, I'll return to that. A couple of quotes for you. One is from Uta Hagen. And if there are some books that I've kept, I bought, as I mentioned, more books than I should have, but the books that I've kept would be Uta Hagen's first book, Respect for Acting, a book called Audition by Michael Shurtleff, and just a wonderful book, a Meisner book, a book called True and False by David Mamet. I think they're really good books. And in fact, one of the things I'm going to do too, in addition, there'll be a part two to this episode. I'm going to interview some of the actors involved in this production and see what their thoughts are. Because there's more. I'm going to cover what I see as a connection between theater and teaching, as well as goal setting, setting goals and motivating yourself in today's episode. But there's other connections as well. I want to get into those. Interesting. So the two quotes I wanted to give you, one is by Uta Hagen. She's a well-known, although now a deceased, theater teacher, actress. And here's a quote from her. The greater your insight into human needs becomes, the better an actor you will be. And that is on page 174 of her Respect for Acting book. Another quote from Oscar Wilde. I regard the theater as the greatest of all art forms, the most immediate way in which a human being can share with another the sense of what it is to be a human being. So, obviously there's a connection between understanding ourselves and the theater, and obviously psychology. Most people probably think when you combine psychology and acting that you're going to be talking about psychodrama, and I will not be talking about psychodrama. I have no background in psychodrama. I've heard of it. I can't say I know anyone who practices it. I suppose it would be interesting. Perhaps that's a topic for a future episode to learn more about psychodrama. But that's not this. And the other thing is, which I don't think we'll be talking about today, is that I do hear teachers say, and you probably have too if you're a teacher, that to be a good teacher today, you have to be an actor. And I don't agree with that either. I think it's obviously good to have energy in the classroom and enthusiasm for what you do, but you've also seen teachers who are perhaps overly energetic about what they're doing, and that actually, I think, takes away from the experience. It's distracting. And the quote also implies that students today have a low attention span and you have to be a good actor. I don't know, maybe that's true about the attention span bit, but I don't think you have to be an actor to be a good teacher. Okay, as you'll see, I think that really, really good classes result from the instructor having thought through and planned the course well from the start, and obviously is energetic about it. The other last thing is that it is August, and so if any of my listeners out there are teachers, well, you're probably about thinking about your syllabi for the upcoming semester. I know I always did when August came around. So would you believe I'm also going to talk about acting, goal setting, and your syllabus? Oh boy, we're going to get a lot into this episode today. I hope that I can fulfill on that promise and make those connections right. Now, since we're talking about acting, I want to use an example. I thought, you know, I can drum up an example regarding teaching and learning in the classroom. That's easy enough. I can drum up an example about goal setting, which I'll be talking about in this episode. But what about the connection to acting? And so I started to think, well, there must be a movie everybody's seen that I can sort of draw upon. And of course, I first thought of Star Wars. But I couldn't dig out a scene in Star Wars that really fulfilled the purposes I wanted to have for this episode. Star Wars is probably not known for its fantastic acting, except perhaps by James Earl Jones. Although I think it's, you know, obviously it's a wonderful film. I did think about The Sound of Music. Not everyone today has seen The Sound of Music. I'm hoping that everyone has seen the movie I have chosen to select a scene from. The movie is It's a Wonderful Life. Now, I know it's not Christmas, but hopefully you've seen this movie, you know, maybe you've seen it so many times that you're like, oh, good. So if you haven't, let me just play you 30 seconds, not from the movie, but of of the main scenes in the movie. I don't know if you're aware of, there's this wonderful site called Angry Alien, www.angryalien.com, and they do a really funny thing. They take most of your major movies and they reenact them, it's an animation, using bunny rabbits. So I encourage you to go there, www.angryalien.com, and check this out. They have most of your major films there, and I've contacted them, and they have allowed me to play the audio version of their reenactment of It's a Wonderful Life. Okay, let her go.
Clarence, help George Bailey, and you'll get your wings. I'm going exploring someday.
I want to do something important. I'm leaving this crummy little town.
But George, if you don't stay, they'll vote for Potter.
Dun, dun, dun.
Potter, you're nothing but a scurvy little spider.
The money's gone, George.
Where is it?
I don't know. Is Daddy in trouble? I'm your guardian angel.
I wish I was never born.
Okay.
Mother.
Huh?
Mary, it's me. I want to live again. Zuzu's petals. Mary.
My brother George, the richest man in town. When a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Attaboy, Clarence.
All right, so there you have it. Hopefully that jogs your memory on that movie. And I will have a link to the Angry Alien site where you can see this and other movies. Very funny stuff. Okay, I want to tell you the scene from that movie I want to focus on. Remember the scene. It was just after George's wedding, and he's about to drive away to go on a honeymoon, and there's a run on the bank. So what does he do, right? Remember, he being, of course, Jimmy Stewart, goes back to the savings and loan and tries to convince everyone not to ask to have all their money taken out of the savings and loan. Remember the major points here in this scene. It's kind of a fun scene. You remember that that Jimmy Stewart tries to calm everybody down. Okay, so I'm going to draw upon that in this episode. All right, so what is the connection between acting and teaching and goal setting? Okay, well, here's where the connection first occurred to me. I was doing a play, and I was probably taking lessons doing a play. Not sure where it first came to me. But teachers, of course, talk a lot about objectives. And textbooks usually have their list, their bullet list of objectives. In this chapter, you will learn blah, blah, blah. They're typically skipped over by students. Teachers are, of course, often think about their objectives. And I remember a time when I was teaching full-time when we were told that our syllabi should reflect these objectives. And it sounded sort of cold. You know, I remember when I first heard about it, you know, everyone being encouraged to list their objectives. You know, I mean, I knew what my objectives were, to teach a course in psychology. But we were told to be more specific about that, and I don't know, I just thought it was an unnecessary exercise. But when I did it, I found that it was actually not so bad at all. The connection to acting is this. Objectives are always mentioned when actors are looking at a play, either when they're first reading it or rereading the scene. Because the thing that you're doing as an actor is you have to ask yourself, what is my objective? What's my purpose? What's my goal in this scene? Because what you're not doing, what actors, good actors are not doing, is playing emotions, pretending to have emotions. Instead, what you're doing is you're saying to yourself as you read the scene, why am I here? What do I want? Or as the author Michael Shurtleff says in his book Audition, what are you fighting for? And he calls that guidepost number two. And he likes the idea of fighting for because it obviously brings a certain amount of drama to the thinking behind it. But so, same way the teachers have to think about, look, what are my goals? Actors think about, what are my goals as well? And then connection to goal setting. And so there's three of them here, teaching, acting, and goal setting. And I throw goal setting in because it also has these same components, objectives, and essentially our goals, right? And the reason why I mention goal setting is because of all the psychological theories, goal setting has some of the strongest research support. Setting goals works. You know this. Whatever it is you want to do, losing weight, whatever, we hear goal setting in terms of that quite often. So what's my goal? But it's not enough. It's good to have a goal. But in order for that goal to be successful, it needs to be specific. So in terms of goal setting, let's say that you're raising money for a group that you're involved in, or if you're a student, you're involved in, you know, the psychology club, and you want to raise money. Well, it's probably not good to just say, well, let's raise some money, right? Let's be specific. Do you want to raise $100, or are you trying to raise $1,000? It's very important to be specific about your goals. Just the same way if you're trying to lose weight. I mean, I'm trying to lose some weight. Well, you know, I guess 1 pound would qualify for that. Exactly how many pounds would you like to lose? Exactly how much money do you want to raise? So I'm teaching psychology. In chapter one, what is it you want students to take away? And that's where these verbs come into play. And you see verbs on not only syllabi, but of course, resumes. Conducted this, managed that. Well, in your syllabus, you want to be able to say for chapter one, my goal is that you are able to do what? Right. So if in chapter one, your goal is that students are able to differentiate between the different schools of thought in psychology, someone might say, well, you could get even more specific, able to list. What's important about this is that think about, for teachers specifically, think about Bloom's taxonomy. Do you want to, and this may be too much of a detail, and I'll try not to spend too much time on this if you're not a teacher. Bloom's taxonomy, of course, starts on with the recall, recognition, up to evaluation at the top. So in some chapters, your goals may be, for example, if it's a chapter on biopsychology, one of your goals may be for students to be able to name the different parts of the brain. Okay, well, that's a sort of a recall recognition thing. If, however, your goal is for them to not just name the different parts of the brain, but to understand the role of neurotransmitters in depression, or be able to make the connections between brain development and intellectual emotional development, which we've been doing with Erickson, well, that's a different sort of thing. Those are different goals. Just being able to name things is one goal. Being able to make connections between brain parts and emotional development, that's sort of like the application level. And so what your goal is, ideally whatever your goal is, should define your teaching strategy. Are you going to lecture? Are you going to have group work? Are you going to do debates? And then the assessment is determined in part upon what your goals were and what your teaching strategy was. That's the ideal. How does this relate to acting? Well, it's very important to be very specific. When an actor goes into a scene, here's Jimmy Stewart. I'm making this up here. No one really knows. He's not alive anymore. We can't ask him what he might have thought of if he was really thinking a lot about it. And a lot of good actors don't really do a lot of deep thinking about the scene. It's sort of a gut thing for them, and they do it, and they sort of understand it at a level that's not very intellectual, which we'll get into really in that other episode. So as he enters this scene with all these people standing around wanting their money because there's been a run on the bank, what's his goal? Well, he could have the goal of getting everyone to not want to take their money out of the bank. That's okay, but it's we'll talk about what else is wrong with that. But specifically, what is he trying to do? There are specific people in that crowd, and he's going to select some of them out to talk to. Instead of going into the scene saying, well, I'm going to try and convince these people not to take their money out of the bank, I'm going to try to calm them down. Remember, he tries to convince them or help them to better understand how their money's not really there in the back room in a vault, that their money is invested in other people's homes. So one of his sub-goals here is to help them better understand how a savings and loan works. The other goal would be to get them to understand how they're a community and how they depend on each other. Have them understand what exactly Potter is doing to try to actually buy up the town and what impact that will have on their future. So in addition to just going into that scene saying, well, I'm going to try and calm these people down, he's got all these other sorts of things he has to accomplish within that scene. In the same way that you go into teaching or teaching on a chapter and you have sub-goals within that chapter. So that's being specific. All right. So we've talked about, first of all, having goals. Second of all, having specific goals. The third one is to have a challenging goal. So it's not enough for Jimmy Stewart to go in and say, well, you know, I'm just going to try to convince these people not to take their money out of the bank. In order to make the scene compelling, to make the scene interesting to watch, to draw our attention, he's got to go in there and not just convince them, because you could do that with just by talking to them. You could just say, well, you know, people, you understand that your money is invested in that person's home, right? I mean, that would be dull. Goals have to be challenging. For example, raising $100, that's not really a challenging goal. And if it's not a challenging goal, it's not really going to motivate anybody. Raising $5,000, that could be pretty challenging. Having a challenging goal makes you think about what you're going to do. A goal of losing 2 pounds, not very motivating. So as a teacher, you have to think about your goals for the class. Are they challenging enough? If they're too easy, then it's not really going to really get students going. If it's too hard, if you've set too high, too many goals, then students are going to become frustrated. All right, so you want to find that place in the middle. Actors try to do that as well. You often hear actors say, or a director will say to an actor, you have to raise the stakes. It has to be important. In order to be interesting to watch in a movie, what the actor is trying to do has to be important. So raising the stakes, having a challenging goal. So Jimmy Stewart's got to go in there, and it's not just that, well, you know, gee, I would like if you keep your money in the savings and loan. What's on the line here is the entire town of Bedford Falls. If these people take their money out of the savings and loan, this town is going down the toilet. That's what's on the line. That's why he must succeed in this scene. And that's what the actor has to realize as they go into the scene, right? I have a challenging goal. Now, actors talk a little bit about obstacles, which I think is what maybe we ought to think about as teachers. Because actors think about, well, okay, what's going to get in the way? What am I fighting against? What's going to be a problem for me? And so as teachers think about the goals that they have, they ought to think about, well, what problems might my students have in fulfilling these goals? And then if you think about those, you can think about what strategies you're going to use to help them overcome those obstacles. In the same way, again, that actors must think about those same sorts of things. What am I fighting? What am I going to do when these problems crop up? Okay. Fourth thing that actors have are what they call tactics or strategies. There are a lot of different ways that Jimmy Stewart, George Bailey, could have gone about convincing these people. that they ought to keep their money there. But of course, you know, and he does a couple. He begs them. In fact, he even says at one point, I beg of you. He tries to convince them using intellectual arguments. So there are different ways that he goes about trying to teach, trying to reach his goal. In the same way that we as teachers take different strategies. We lecture, we do group work. What is the strategy you're going to use to reach your goal in the classroom? Actors have the same thing. And if in terms of goal setting, how are you going to raise that money? You're going to have a bake sale. If your goal is $5,000 and you're going to have a bake sale, that's obviously not going to do it all by itself. How much money are you going to raise in a car wash? Is that going to be enough? Should you put on a show and charge admission? So when you have high, challenging goals, they focus your energy. And they do so to help you either raise money, to help you teach your class, or for an actor to complete the scene, to get into it and figure out, what am I going to do to reach my goal? Okay. The fifth thing is feedback. Feedback is essential. Let's just first talk about goal setting. Feedback is essential to reach your goals. If your goal is to lose 25 pounds, and you've decided that that's reasonable, that's challenging, but not impossible, you would need to weigh yourself. If you're going to raise money for your group, you've got to have, you know, one of those little thermometers. You often see those around goal setting up, you know, where the red moves up the thermometer or represents how much money has been raised to that point. You need to know how well you're doing in relation to your goal. Teachers need to give students feedback. You do this in two ways. While you teach, you keep your eye on your students. You look for those cues that tell you whether or not they're with you. Do they appear to be understanding what you're saying? And of course, you interrupt your lecturing with questions and such to see if they are keeping up. And of course, the other way that you get your feedback is through grades. So what you have to decide, though, is how many grading opportunities are there going to be throughout the classroom? Is there going to be midterm and final? Or should there be more frequent feedback? Now, of course, as a teacher, you know this. Now, in actors, imagine this. So you're George Bailey, right? And you're in the scene, and you are trying to convince people that they should leave their money in. What you must always be doing is focusing not on what you may be feeling, what your emotions are, focusing on the other actors. Are you being successful in your efforts? So the grades that your students get are also a reflection of whether or not they're reaching your goals. Actors look at other actors, and they're trying to make the other actor do something, typically. Just as we are in daily life, we are trying to get other people to do things for us. So we have to focus on the other actor. I did some training with Sanford Meisner technique. This is a large part of that is learning to listen and to pay attention to what is going on in the other actor. All of us, in all three of these applications, goal setting, teaching, and acting, we all have goals, challenging goals, strategies to reach those goals, and we are keeping our eye on how well we're doing in relation to whether or not we're succeeding on those goals. And if there's one final application, goal setting talks about how important it is for people to select their own goals. And so very often as teachers, we allow students to pick their own projects. At least to a certain extent, we allow them some freedom. Because we know that when people pick their own project, they tend to have a greater sense of commitment to it. And that's called goal commitment in the goal setting world. And also in the theater world, directors often allow actors to find the motivation within themselves. If you're having trouble, if you are someone playing George Bailey and you really can't, you know, you just don't have the energy. The stakes are not up. It's not convincing. It's not interesting to watch because you don't have the energy that you need. Directors might, for example, ask the actor to think about something within their own lives that if they don't get someone to change their mind, something major is going to be lost. And so the director will say, don't tell me what it is. Keep that to yourself, but think about where that is in your life and use that in this scene. So there you go. Teachers are like actors, but not in the way you think. They're like actors in that they set goals, they set challenging goals, they set specific goals. They come up with strategies to reach those goals, and they keep in touch with their students to make sure that they are progressing towards those goals. So it's interesting to see these principles, these goal-setting principles, being used in these two very, at least we think of them, as very different fields. I found this connection between these three things, acting, teaching, goal-setting, to be interesting. The language that we use is sometimes not that different. In all three cases, we talk about having goals. Actors may talk about raising the stakes, and psychology researchers may talk about having challenging goals, but it's the same process. Well, I'll leave it at that. Hope you found this interesting, episode 23 of the Psych Files, and we shall return after opening night for me, and I will finish up on Erickson and then gather some interviews with some actors. I think you'll find that interesting. Okay, thank you so much. Feel free to stop by on the blog at www.thepsychfiles.com and leave a comment and send me an email if you wish, michael@thepsychfiles.com. Thanks a lot for listening, and see you next time.